Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
Hello, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Eva.
And welcome to the very first episode of Hello Universe.
So we started this podcast because both of us were genuinely very interested in learning more about spirituality.
And also what it means to be a spiritual person who doesn't just sit on a mountain meditating, but lives in the real world and has grumpy bosses and has to drive in traffic and pay their taxes and brush their teeth. And what does that all look like when you put it together?
Yeah. And I feel like now there's more people interested in spirituality and they're curious about it, but we didn't really know any people who were having really meaningful, in-depth conversations about it in our real lives.
So we started this podcast.
Exactly.
And so I think what we're going to try to do for this first episode is actually just interview each other because we both know each other well and also don't know each other well at all. And so we're just going to take turns asking some questions and seeing what comes out.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've been excited about interviewing Kylie on her spiritual beliefs and her background for quite some time now. So I'm excited to dig in.
Okay, I'm ready.
So here's a question I wanted to ask for a while because I've heard you reference it before. What was your spiritual and religious background growing up?
So I grew up Catholic and I grew up, you know, my mom is one of 10 kids, big Irish Catholic family. I live in a part of the country in the United States that is predominantly Irish Catholic. Like when I was in school, people didn't ask you what religion you were. They asked you like which of the two Catholic churches in town you went to. And what's really interesting, my mom had her own ambivalent relationship with the church where, you know, there was a lot that she thought wasn't great, but also it was her spiritual home, right? So she, this really cool thing where she would, every time she would bring us to church, when we were driving home, that like 10 minute drive home, she would ask my little brother and I what we thought about the mass and what we thought about the homily, which is like the part, Catholic mass is very scripted. Everything's kind of exactly the same, but then there's the homily where the priest actually like talks, you know, presumably from his heart, and it's different. And so anyway, she would always ask us, what did you think of that? Did you agree? Did you disagree? Which is actually pretty radical within the, like, Catholic doctrine, because it's sort of like, well, this is what we all agree with.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think, and I said to my mom recently that that was an incredible gift because it taught me from a very young age that I got to make this my own. And that I could leave the parts that didn't speak to me, and it didn't mean I had to leave all of it. Which when you're growing up as a woman in a religion where women literally like can't even stand on the little stage is a pretty important thing to, you know, model. And then when I was in high school, I joked that my version of teenage rebellion was that I got super religious.
Yeah, I was always really curious about that.
Yeah.
So, and what that looked like and what that means.
So, you know, like many people, I was just an awkward, you know, middle school and teenager. And I had like one best friend who is my best friend to this day. And we just like went to youth group. That was like our thing, right? That and like, you know, reading Cosmo and pretending that we weren't taking it seriously. And anyway, so I just like started going to like these like, you know, Jesus camps, for lack of a better word, but like Catholic Jesus camp. And that's a long pause.
we're gonna have a lot of those.
I know. Evangelicals like do, you know, like God camp stuff. They're like all in on the sort of, and you know, tent raising and that sort of stuff. I'm getting rambly. Sorry. Let me just, okay.
Okay. all good.
So, my friend and I, Megan, we started going to, you know, I jokingly call it Jesus camp, but these like Catholic kids camps. And it was actually this really beautiful experience where it was really about like, you are valuable and God loves you and like, you're a good person, which every teenager desperately needs to hear. And so I just felt at home. Like I just was this community where I felt really free to be my kind of awkward self. And it built on something that was really meaningful to me when I was younger, which was going to mass with my family and talking about it with my mom. So I think one of the things that came out of my mom teaching me that I could take and leave pieces is that I did that. So, you know, during parts of going to church, there's like things that are like kind of part of the call and response of a Catholic service that I would just be quiet during because they didn't resonate with me. And I knew that they didn't need to be my own. Like one of them is this line, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. Only say the word and I shall be healed. And I was 8 years old and I was like, that's bullshit.
Oh, I love 8 year old Kyrie.
I was like, you made me. Like, I am definitely worthy because, like, what kind of nonsense is that? Why would you make me unworthy? That just did not make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. I love that. Like, you, like, as a kid, though, you already kind of knew what I think so many of us are still trying to learn in our adult years.
Well, yeah. And like, I could use a dose of 8 year old Kylie any day now, right? Like, you think, you know, as a kid, you often know things that, you know, yeah, we lose touch with as we get older.
Yes.
The other piece of being Catholic is that has, and so I don't go to mass anymore. I haven't for a very long time. I went once for a wedding and I was like, kind of like skin crawling a little bit, not because the wedding was great, but I just like, it's not my spiritual home for a whole variety of reasons anymore. I do still love an empty church. And I love the Virgin Mary. Like, me and the Blessed Mother, like, we're tight. I have like five, I have like a relatively small house and I have like five Blessed Mother statues tucked in random corners of my house. My mom recently gave me a pair of my grandmother's rosary beads. She was super, super Catholic. And I took the crucifix off cause Jesus is a cool dude. The crucifix as a religious imagery doesn't resonate with me. And I stuck a crystal on the end of it.
Oh my God. I think that totally represents so much.
Yes. Yes. Like if there's like a symbol that needs to represent like my spirituality, it's my grandmother's rosary beads with a crystal on the end. That's a little bit of.
Oh, so that's actually really interesting to me. So you did essentially like, take what you wanted and then you left the rest.
Yeah.
And
then I was sad. I mean, when I got to the point where Catholicism wasn't my home anymore, I was sad I definitely had to grieve. A long time, spirituality just wasn't important because I didn't have a space to practice it. And I kind of only understood it. I only knew how to practice it within the context of like religion. But the other thing I should say about all of this is that my aunt and uncle, who were like second parents to me growing up, are Zen Buddhists. And so they met in a Zen center, you know, meditate, like have a million books around their house. And so that was also just kind of in the air that I was breathing. And so when I would like go to them to like, you know, complain about my parents or something, They weren't like obnoxious about it by any means, but their advice kind of came in this bubble of like, you know, so like, they weren't like sitting there giving me like koans, you know, that was their perspective and I'm a reader. So they would be like, you know, I'd ask for books and they would give me book recommendations.
They offered like a different like world and perspective for you to sort of exist in as to, you know, to compare and contrast and see what made sense for you.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so meditation was never like, I mean, I didn't meditate for a very, very long time, but it was never this thing that like, I only saw people do in movies. Like it was a thing that my uncle did every morning with his cup of tea. So it was accessible.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it seemed real to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, but did you ever feel like you had, cause so I don't know anything about, well, you're going to find as we continue to talk, like there's so much about structured religion and traditional religion that I don't know. But I am curious, because it's something I hear people talk about a lot. Like, did you walk away with any sort of Catholic guilt?
Oh my God, I am like the poster child for Catholic guilt.
Okay, got it. Okay,
yes,
got it, got it.
Yes,
which
yes.
I'm sure we will probably get into at some point.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay. You can't grow up Catholic and not have the Catholic guilt. I mean, it's like in the got same it. Way, like I have a good friend who's Jewish and she's like, yeah, Catholics and Jews, like we
oh completely I say the same thing about Asians. Yeah. You can't be Asian and not be guilty.
Yeah, okay, so maybe it's just you can't be human and not be guilty. Right, I don't right. know who's yeah. escaping it, but yeah. Okay, so then here's my question for you. I as I'm mm-hmm. same thing, I'm super curious to know about what is your childhood experience with spirituality and religion and whatnot.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, like my base knowledge of religion is so minimal, it's actually kind of embarrassing. Like, especially because, you know, so I'm a life coach and I talk a lot about spirituality, but the truth is I don't know anything about the Bible, I don't know anything about Jesus, like the really basic things kind of have always escaped me because I didn't come from any kind of religious background.
That is so fascinating.
Yeah. I think it's actually really fascinating because I think it's rare to find somebody who, like, in at least in America, in our modern world, who like doesn't have, you know, at least some basic understanding of these sorts of about religion. But my parents were, I don't know, so busy being like, I don't know, you know, immigrant people coming from Taiwan to move to America. Like, they didn't talk about religion at all. It was not like they had, it was never mentioned in our house. Even though I would say my grandparents, I guess you could say they're Buddhist, but not really practicing. Mm. And then, but the weird thing is, and this is what I think about all the time when I think about my spiritual upbringing, is even though no one talked to me about God or spirits or anything like that, I remember when I was a kid, for whatever reason, I had this faith in something bigger than myself. Mm. And that always really stuck with me. And I think it really came from the fact that I grew up in like a pretty, I would say, like, troubled household. There was like that, I think that informs a lot of like my life and also why I ended up doing the work that I do. But like, my mother being an alcoholic and my parents were just like never around, I grew up with what you could call like some, like a pretty, I would say, I don't know, textbook shitty childhood. And I just remember like one day feeling so fucking miserable. I remember I wanted to get out of my family. I wanted to get out of my house. And I was like, how could this be like the existence? How, cause it felt like so much suffering for me at the time that I was like, no, there's gotta be something. There's gotta be something else. And I remember like praying to, I don't know what, but just being like, please like help me, get me out of this situation. Like, I truly believe that there is something bigger out here that can like, I don't know, grant me wishes. I don't even know if it's religious or what. Maybe I just believed in magic, which I don't really think is that separate from spirituality.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I don't want to say I conflate them together, but it's more like, I think spiritual stuff can feel really magical. And I think if anything, that was my religion as a kid.
As an aside, I used mm-hmm. to pray to God about what I wanted from Santa because I assumed they were best friends.
So I think that makes total sense.
Like, it just like, obviously these two anonymous fat white dudes, like, they must be right.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
How old were you when you had this experience of like, just kind of like reaching out for something beyond you for help?
I think I was probably, let me think. So my mom, she got really sick when I was in third grade. So I was probably like 10, yeah. maybe 11. And the thing is, so if you ask, like, you know, you're asking me about my, like, you know, spiritual religious background, like that, for some reason that memory really sticks out to me. But other than that, that's only something I think about in hindsight, but like, other than that, I don't really, remember having any type of like spiritual experience as a kid or like any type of religious beliefs. It was just more like, in hindsight, I knew that I remembered praying to something because I did believe that there was something bigger.
And did you feel, not to like put too much weight on a single moment, but I'm just curious to know, do you feel like you remember, like, does it stick out in your memory because you felt it felt comforting, like in reaching out you felt like something kind of reached back, or is it the sort of grief that stands out? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. No, I definitely think it felt comforting, and it felt like, I don't know how to explain it. It almost felt like a knowing, and it felt like someone or something being like, it's all gonna be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt really, yeah, that's a really good question.
That was like an anchor in some way or something.
Yeah, that's a really good word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't actually like a single event. It was more like, that was the one thing that I remember reaching out for help for often. And that was the one thing where I did feel like it did comfort me. And then also, like, in my mind, the story that I have is that it did eventually change. And so in my mind, I'm like, I feel like in some way something was there supporting me, because I think there are times where I felt like I was living in some sort of like hell and I was never going to get out, but eventually I did. And I think that to me has always been a sign that, like, you know what, things are going to be okay. And something is making it okay. Cause it's not me. It's like something greater than me.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. So I'm curious, this is really interesting that, so for listeners who don't exactly know our relationship to each other, we don't obviously know a lot of this background, even though we're sort of have like this instant connection when we talk. So, this is fascinating that you are so like, the polar opposite of me when it comes to religion. Like I have like religious textbooks on my bookshelf and like dream about getting a master's in divinity just because I just am like a total nerd for this stuff. So, I love so much that, and I don't mean to make myself sound like an expert. I just like, I'm
oh no, but that's, I completely agree. Yeah. I remember when we met each other, that's one thing that like drew me to, I was so fascinated by this because we were two people who were like, so like we believed in spirituality and it informed our lives, and somehow we were coming from different backgrounds completely, yet we were still meeting in the middle. And I always thought that was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you feel like, I think some people who come from sort of more oppressive religious backgrounds feel like they had to unlearn a lot in order to make peace with what we call God or spirituality or the universe. Do you feel like it was like a blessing to sort of have this neutral experience with it, or do you feel it a disadvantage?
No, 100%. I think it was a blessing for sure. I think that's such a insightful question, because that's coming from someone I think who does have to carry the burden of the unlearning the spiritual things that can really keep us down. Because I work with a lot of people who have a lot of spiritual baggage, I guess you could say, either about all different kinds of things, right? About like sex, about guilt, about with their parents and how they have to be, and conforming, blah blah blah. And I have that in my own way. I think that probably comes more from like upbringing and Asian culture and all of that. But I feel so blessed. I think about this all the time, that I don't have any of like the conditionings of a strict religious background.
Yeah,
it's definitely. I am fascinated about learning more about religion, which is why I think it's also so great that we're doing this podcast. But I also feel like it's one of those things where ignorance kind of is bliss, because I don't have to like deal with any of that bullshit.
Yeah. And like for me, I just didn't access my spiritual self for a really long time. And I was learning other things and like expanding and growing in other ways. So it's all cool. But when I kind of reconnected to being a spiritual person, it felt like, I remember feeling like, when I started to feel really strongly in my belief that like there is something bigger than me and the way that I understand it, which I'm sure we'll get into. And I remember thinking, but other people really strongly believe in something bigger and it makes them blow up buildings. Like Maybe I'm just being a crazy person.
Right.
And I still sometimes have that if I'm being transparent. So
yeah. I would love to talk about that at some point, because I think that's a really good point. Yeah. Basically questioning our own sanity because we're believing in something that, like, you know, is totally intangible.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that does bring me to the next question, which is, you know, related. How do you think your spiritual beliefs have evolved? Like, where do you feel like you land now?
Oh man. Oh my God. Sometimes I laugh when I think of like what Kylie from like 3 years ago would think of me now. I mean, also it feels like a total natural and obvious extension. Let's see. How do I answer that question?
Yeah, it's a big one. It's kind of a big one.
It is a big one. And I think, you know, there's something so vulnerable to the point that I just said, there's something so vulnerable about some of our spiritual beliefs, because there is totally still a part of me that's like, okay, but I might actually just be losing my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, ultimately my fundamental, I'll say this morning, Jehovah's Witness knocked on my door. Never happened before, which is super interesting. Actually, I should just invite them to be on our podcast.
Yeah, because
I was so nice to them, and she was like, "Can we come back?" And I was like, "Yes," because probably nobody wants to talk to you. But
yeah, they have a hard job.
Yeah, and I'm a sales lady for a living, so yeah. I was like, "Come on in, I'll make you tea."
All right, well, next time they'll be invite them back.
Yeah, I was like, "You're not going to convert me, but like, let's talk." Yeah. And they like read a passage to me from Revelations. Oh man, it was very interesting. Why did I start to tell you that story?
Well, we were talking about where you feel like you are
so
now.
This is what I said to them. My most fundamental spiritual belief is just that everything is love, and love is the most important thing in the universe. And
I love that.
Yeah, and for a long time that was just like a really abstract, like, you know, sound like a nice like saying on a poster, but I like really in my heart and in my body feel and believe that. And becoming a mom was what kind of blew the door off. I mean, that's what brought me back to spirituality was when my son was born. And so that's my one of my biggest beliefs. And then the other belief, I think, and this I have had for a long time, basically I think this thing that we call God or the universe or whatever is so much bigger than we can ever even begin to understand or conceptualize, that I actually think so many different religions and spiritual practices, it's like the facets on a prism, and I think that they're all right and also all wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yes. Right? I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, cause as soon as you try to put it into words, you're leaving some of it out. So, you know, then religion just becomes this game of telephone where, you know, little by little, more and more is getting left out because it's an impossible thing to try to capture. But that also these practices allow us to, I don't know, just for a second, step into something greater and more beautiful than, you know, than ourselves, mm-hmm. and also that is ourselves. And now I'm getting way too like philosophical and down the rabbit hole, but
yeah, no, but I agree. That's what it's all about. And this is why I want to start this podcast, because I like love this shit. Right, right. I'm like, how are people not talking about this all the time?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Forget what you did this weekend. Let's go down the rabbit hole.
Let's talk about how we came to be and like how, like, what the fuck is the universe? And yeah,
what are we doing? You know,
exactly. How did we get here?
And not in a, sometimes that question can come from such a place of like, oh man, like, fuck, what are we doing? But I think there's also a really beautiful version of it, which is like, yeah, what is the purpose? Like, what are we doing?
I completely agree. Well, it's that I think asking the question from that place actually gives me hope, because I like knowing that I don't know anything. Like, that actually gives me comfort. When people start thinking that they know, or maybe me, when I start thinking that I know, then it's like this grasping And then I feel like I get kind of trapped in this like container. Yes. And it's like everything is just limited. And then the minute I can be like, oh, no, 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 wait a second. Let me remind myself, like, I actually don't know how any of this works or like what the hell I'm doing. And like, it's like, then there's like all this room and all this space for anything, which I think to me feels like the most like peaceful and the most loving and the most exciting and like the most open, you know?
Yes. And actually you're making me something, realize something real time, which is that I have, you know, the whole notion of like surrender, be in the flow, like exactly what you're describing, like you don't know and it's good to not know. I mean, like a lot of people, I have a lot of resistance to that. I have a really hard time with it. But this conversation is making me realize part of that root is actually in my Catholic upbringing, where there is so much emphasis on like God knows everything and you're just this like lowly maggot that maybe he'll be nice to. I mean, that's like somewhat of a mischaracterization of, mm-hmm. but also, you know, it's in there. And so, mm-hmm. Some of the key moments of establishing my worth within that paradigm is that I would, you know, not say the things that I didn't want. Like I refused to surrender to the whole experience, right? I was like, I'm holding this part of me back because I think that part is bullshit. And so I think that comes into tension now when I'm supposed to like, you know, now I think whatever we call God is much bigger than what Catholicism or religion represents. But it still feels hard to surrender because I'm like, but maybe you're just still that like guy in a beard.
Totally.
That makes sense.
I mean, I think, yeah, of course. And I think that's the constant struggle, right? Like in our beliefs and in our everyday life as well. It's like this like, okay, control versus letting go, like control versus letting go, which is, I mean, that's how we started, like, that's how we kind of know each other, right? That's like where some of our original conversations started, this idea of like, I don't know. I don't know what I mean by like, when I say that's where our conversation started, this idea of like, well, so for those of you who don't know, and you probably don't, cause this is our first podcast, but like when Kylie and I first met, it was because we were working together. And I remember just like some of our first conversations were always about like, letting go of control, because that's what causes so much like anxiety.
Yes. And so yeah, Eva, if you all need a life coach, hire Eva. She's great. There was one time in particular that, and I told you this story recently, but Eva was talking about exactly this. Like, I think the fact that we don't know is like so exciting. That's the best part. I mean, literally in my head, I was like, what the fuck? Just like, I am pretending that I am buying this, but that is bonkers.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. I think I remember you telling me that afterwards.
And look how far I've come. No, I still have a hard time, but it's
no, okay, by the way, I should also say, I hope I'm not coming across as if like I'm always letting go, because I am, like, you can ask my partner, I am the poster child for like constantly wanting to control things because of my type A Capricorn personality. It's like, yeah, I just want to like get shit. I'm constantly at battle with control, and then wanting to know. Oh my god, I have such an issue with, I have to know, I want to know the answer, and like that gets me in trouble so much. Me trying to understand God, me trying to understand, like, I read so many books about spirituality because it's my ego wanting to say that I understand and that I know, and then I can explain it to other people. Yes. But that's what I mean when I say I get myself in trouble too, though, because then it's like when I feel like, I don't, first of all, anytime I think I understand, something kind of comes in and like, you know, pulls a rug out from under me and says, no, no, no. And then also it's like, I feel like sometimes I'm missing the point when I try to like try and understand and like explain it away and like put it in some container, because it's exactly like you said, it's like way bigger than anything I think that I can intellectually ever comprehend.
Yes, I totally had this moment. So yesterday I forgot my phone. I couldn't find it before I was leaving, and I didn't want to miss the train. So I was like, it's fine. I'll just go without my phone for a day, which is like, you know, feels like walking around without a shirt on. Right? And I have about a 20-minute walk from the train to my office. normally I listen to a podcast, and usually it's like a spiritual podcast, you know, it's like on being, or, you know, it's something, or an audio book. It's something that's mm-hmm. going to like make me a better person or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. And I couldn't do that, right? 'Cause I didn't have my phone. So instead I just had to walk and be present. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh,
yes. Oh my God.
Like this, and I was so happy by the time I got to work, and I felt like so kind of connected all day. And I was like this, the point is not to like read about and listen about being in the moment, like for all that those things are really useful. Like, so if you're listening to this while you walk to work, turn it off right now.
Permission to totally just be in the moment.
Yes. Yes. So no, I here, so let me ask you a question. So mm-hmm. I am super curious to know about what brought you to become a life coach, because it seems like that work seems really spiritual for you and also practical. And I'm curious. So I guess my question is twofold. One is sort of, what was your path to end up saying like, yep, I want to do this work. I want to be a life coach. And then also, was it intended to be spiritual work, or is that something that sort of it's evolved or is evolving into?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to try my best to keep this succinct, because
I know tell me everything in the last like 10 years of your life and go.
Well, no, it's just because I love talking about it so much that I think I can get like really in the weeds. But let me think, because it's okay. So, I never sought out to be a life coach. Like, this wasn't any sort of like intentional direction. I actually had a pretty good job in nonprofit work before this. But the truth is, like, without a doubt, I think my interests and what I was good at always lied in asking questions, being like annoyingly curious, and people, like, and not just people, but like the depth of people. Like, I just always, I don't know, to me, the most interesting thing was always connecting with people in like a really meaningful way, and like the psychology and like the supporting of and like all of that stuff. Like, I think, I don't know, since I could remember, was like the most fascinating thing to me. So I think that really like laid the background. And then I think what happened is I probably should have gone to school for this like when I was younger. Like, that would have been the smart thing to do. But instead I like did all these other things, like took all these different routes, worked all these sorts of odds and ends. And I think I got into nonprofit work. And then I only ended up in coaching because I think I was having my own crisis, if I'm being really honest. Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was like living in New York City, living this like crazy sort of social, busy, workaholic life that was like, in all fairness, actually very like fun and indulgent. And I had like a really great time, and I was like partying all the time and working really hard. But I was like not happy. I was like, and not only that, but I felt like things were showing up in my life that were like crashing down on me, that showed me that like I was not living, like being true to myself, essentially. And a lot of that,
were you, at this point in your life, were you at all connected to a sense of spirituality? Was it just like humming in the background? Was it?
Oh my God, such a good question. Okay, so, I think this is such a good question, because I think it's important to talk about how cynical I was. Like, not only did I not have a spiritual background, but I was like, I was too cool for school. I was very cynical. I was like, I don't know. I think maybe because I was jaded, because like life had handed me a few bad cards or whatever, like spirituality, all of that was cast aside. I don't even know where it went. I wasn't even like thinking about it. Actually, that's not true. The one thing, this is kind of a contradiction, but the one thing I was always interested in was meditation, because I was always really anxious. Like, people called me like high strung. My friends categorized me as like neurotic. And because of that, I was always interested in meditation, but from a very sort of modern, Western standpoint, which is like, how can I meditate to make myself more focused and more productive and it wasn't because I wanted to be like do internal work and like, you know, come back to myself and like listen to myself. It was because I was trying to, you know, personal development myself to death. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I was doing it from a very like type A thing. So I was into meditation, but that didn't feel spiritual to me, but it did help. And then, like I was saying, when I was having my own personal crisis, I had a moment of like where my partner at that time cheated on me with who I thought was a really good friend. Oof. And my whole social circle came crashing down. And it was like a huge red flag because I was like, okay, like, who am I hanging out with? And like, why am I hanging out with these people who are gonna like, who are gonna do something like this to me? Because I think I had, it was like a sort of a newsflash that I had these superficial New York relationships that seemed really cool and fun on the outside, but really like didn't have any meat to them. So that was like the first thing that happened. I felt like I had this whole Saturn's return, which like for those of you who don't know, is they say is this thing that happens around like 27, 28, where you like are forced to learn the lessons that you need to learn. And so life just has like a funny way of handing them to you. And what else happened? Oh yeah, I got bed bugs, and also I got assaulted in my own apartment. Yeah, and it was just, and it was this moment of where like, okay, I need to like be taking care of myself. I need to like check my relationships. I need to be like, because I wasn't doing any self-care at the time either. I was just like partying and doing a ton of drugs and like never sleeping and living this crazy lifestyle. And all of those things could have forced me to slow down and reassess. And that's when I started taking really good care of myself. And all of my like internal problems also started coming up with like, you know, my mom issues, which I think will always be a thing. And I started just to like intensely like do self-work, and also started reading books that inevitably when you're doing like self-help stuff, you end up reading things that are at least flirting with spirituality. But I remember like I was in a really bad time, and all the books that I was reading was like, you gotta believe in something bigger than yourself. And that I remember it was like a switch that went off that reminded me of when I was a kid. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I forgot that I used to believe that. And I forgot that that's something that I can tap into. And I like totally forgot that like, there is a part of me, you know, the part of me that actually feels real that believes in me, in that kind of stuff. You know, like you were saying about how when you're a kid, you believe, you know, things that are intricately true or intrinsically true. And then when you grow up, you kind of forget them.
Yeah.
And I felt like this time in my life where I had a wake up call took me back to that point when I was like, oh yeah, I'm remembering what is true. And from there, I just, like my meditation practices changed so that they were not about, you know, like, how can I like be more productive? It was a lot more about like, let me go inward and, you know, see what's going on inside. And yeah, I mean, that was sort of, there's a lot more to it, but that's how I kind of like got back onto the spiritual path. This is a long answer.
No, this is so, I am here for it. It's keep going, please.
Yeah, I forgot the original question, which is you asked me how I got into life coaching. And once I started doing my own work and seeing like, oh my God, like how fulfilling it was and how meaningful it was, like you couldn't separate me from it. So now I had this like double whammy of like, not only was I really into like spirituality and like healing and growth and personal development, because that was still there. I also had, you know, that natural inclination to want to talk to people and connect with people in a really meaningful way. And I remember like, okay, so I was like, I was working in nonprofit, and because the universe has a way of like, you know, can be pushy sometimes is the way that I see it. The place that I was working in, we lost funding. And at the time it was like this huge crisis, and I was like, holy shit, like I'm losing my job. I was freaking out. And then it turned out, of course, to be like the best thing in the world. as it sometimes can, right? If you like turn it into an opportunity. And it was like the perfect timing. I literally went from freaking out to being like, my life is over, to, oh my God, like, I've been thinking about the spiritual, you know, coaching stuff for so long. Like, now is the time. Like, seize the day. I'm here. I have an opportunity to totally go for something that I really care about. And so I remember, like, talking to my friends about it and, like, meditating on it. And it was a huge, like, also an internal sort of awakening where I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go for this thing that feels totally fucking scary and out of left field. And at the time, coaching wasn't really that big yet, so it was still, like, weird. People were like, you know, I judged myself for being a life coach. I was like, life coaching, like, what is that? But it was, like, the only thing that fit the bill of what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So and then, yeah, and then I went for it. And since then there's been more story, but that's sort of how I got started.
And so the one other question that I'm curious about, all of that is beautiful and amazing. I'm curious to know, like, did you intend to do life coaching around spirituality, or did it ever feel like sometimes when I'm trying to get my son to eat vegetables and people are like, well, just bake the zucchini into the muffin. Like, what I mean? Like, let's get in here. Like, from the get-go, you're like, let's get in there and talk about, like, spirituality in our lives. Or were you like, well, I'm going to help people, like, be nicer to themselves, and then covertly they'll, like, connect to the universe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. I'm so glad you asked that question, because I think sometimes I forget my own path because it all feels like it's all conflated together. But actually, no, I started off as a health and wellness coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I started off as actually a holistic health coach. And at the time it was actually perfect because I was really into, like, health and wellness, but also the program that I went to was really nice because, you know, in their eyes, holistic health meant also spiritual health. So it really talked about emotional health, physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. And it was like, that it talked about all those things, but spirituality definitely wasn't the main thing. And it still isn't now. You know, when I work with clients, it isn't really generally about general fulfillment in life. So we look at all different aspects, but spirituality, I think, can play a really huge role in that. And what's really funny, actually, I'll say, is even when my clients aren't spiritual, we're talking about spiritual things. Like, we just may not call it that, you know what I mean? Because I think spirituality is actually very practical. It's, like, in everything that we do.
Say more about that. That is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before, which is, like, spirituality, to me, I don't think is, like, all this woo-woo, like, crystals and... ceremonies and rituals and all that stuff. Like, spirituality to me feels like the everyday thing, which is, like, how something makes you feel, how much appreciation you can have for, like, the little things, like, how loving and fully can you show up, not just for others, but, like, for yourself when you are being a total shit and you know it and you feel bad. But can you meet yourself with some compassion and some kindness and grace? Like, because if you can do that, then you can show up more fully for other people. And to me, I'm like, that's spirituality, right?
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. I was thinking about something about kind of related to this the other day, which is, there's a full moon, right? And, like, in, like, kind of modern spirituality Instagram circles, like, full moon, everyone's like at a ritual, and, like, and I you know, again, I'm a Catholic girl, like, I love a good ritual. But I have come to this place where my belief around sort of, like, seasonal changes and moon cycles is like that stuff is just happening, and if it suits you to do a ritual and sort of connect to that, awesome. But, like, mm-hmm. If it's a full moon about, I don't know, if it's the autumn equinox and it's all about, like, death and rebirth is coming for you, whether you, like, light a candle or not. Mm-hmm. So I've come to a place now of, like, just when it's, like, a sort of, you know, an important day cosmically or however you want to count it, I've just kind of clocking it and being open and observing what comes, and like not forcing myself to like stay up an extra hour so I can like, you know, write out all my intentions in the moonlight, which sometimes is awesome. Like if I have the energy for it, great. But
yeah,
that was my big realization. It's like, this is just what's happening. This is the air that we are all breathing. This is like, this is what's happening. And so you can just show up and be there for it. In whatever that means, which might mean you go to bed at 8 o'clock and you're exhausted because you're dying and being reborn.
yes. Yeah, oh my God, I love that. No, so I think, the way that I've come to see it, because I think, you know, I've gotten really caught up in like those, in like the rituals before, or like, not even the rituals, but like, I'm trying to think of examples of things that for example, I don't actually read my horoscope anymore. And that I think some people, you know, they love horoscopes and they really get into them. And I have like no shade against them. I still, if someone wants to read me my horoscope, I'll listen. And I think it's fun, but I think it's like, I think it's all about what gets you there. Meaning like what gets you to love. Right. So I agree with what you said earlier. I love what you said about how it's all about love and love is everything. So it's like, what can get you there? And you know, something for me, like my horoscopes, I used to like read them and get so into them and be like, oh my God, if it says I'm gonna have a bad day, and then I would believe that I was gonna have a bad day. And I was like, if it's not working for me anymore and it's just like, I don't know, getting my panties up in a twist, like that doesn't feel good to me. But you know, listening to music feels good to me, or going for a walk in nature, like that makes me feel super fucking connected, like to not like to myself, but also like to everything around me.
Okay. And well, that was a great transition to my next question for you, which is when do you feel most connected to sort of something bigger than yourself? And what are the things that you do as that are like the most important part of what you would call a spiritual practice?
Oh girl. Okay, so I think this is a good question, but I feel like it's hard to answer because I think this is always changing for me.
Yeah.
And also, I think I like kind of what we were saying earlier, I want to separate like the things that I can put on my to-do list to, I think, what's actually spiritual. And what I mean by that is, so I have, sure, I can tell you, like, I have a to-do list of things, or like, you know, concrete things that I can point to that I think do make me feel connected. So like being in nature for sure is like my sanctuary. Music, journaling. I'm really into The Work by Byron Katie, which is like this whole mindset thing that I do. You know, like I have this, my morning rituals are so important to me, where I can have a little bit of time to myself and meditate. Oh my God, meditation. I swear, I think to me, meditation is magic. I don't know what it does, but it does this thing to me where I just like get out of my ego and I can just be like, really just feel like what it is to be a human without needing to do anything or go anywhere or say anything. So yeah, and I have cultivated all these practices that do get me there. But if I'm being really honest, and I don't even know if I like this answer, I think really what makes me feel the most spiritual is when I'm going through a really hard thing.
Ooh.
And I'm like being challenged, and I like have to stop myself and be like, ugh, damn it, like what am I meant to learn from this? And I like have to really like, then I had to do the work, and it's like, it's never like that part's like never actually fun, right?
Yes. Oh my God. No, literally, I can't remember what it was, but the other day, like I am just like constantly just like one of the things that I do a lot is just like ask for help. Right. Someone's sort of, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So like, when I notice myself being like anxious and wound up, I would just be like, hey, can you help me? Like you, whoever you are, can you help me like kind of chill it today? And there was something, I would love to talk about time at some point, because I have a ton of anxiety around time. I have two small children, and I have this like hugely like just like almost oppressive anxiety around like there is not enough time and they are growing up so fast and like I'm not making the right choices and like I spend all this time worrying that I'm not in the moment enough with my children while I could just be fucking in the moment with my children. And so I literally the other day was like I sort of did the like you know little like you know could you just help me sort of like not just like let go of all this fear around time about there not being enough time. And then I was like, and then I could like feel, I don't even know how to share that, but I could feel like, yeah, yeah, we can help you with that. Are you ready?
Oh no.
I literally actually was like, you know what? Actually hold back. Like give me like a couple more months. I got a lot on my plate right now. We got other projects we're working on.
Let me finish all these things first, and then I'll try and like learn that lesson.
Because I knew like there is something on the other side. Like there is a version of me that can be like not such a totally fearful weirdo about time, but I'm going to have to walk through the fire to get to the other side. And we're walking through other fires right now. So like, we're just putting that, you know, later down the list. But that is,
Yeah. But I mean, isn't that true? I mean, and I feel like you can, I feel like you can relate to that. I can say probably what's true for us and most people is like you learn your spiritual lessons the most because you're going through something hard. And you have no choice but to try to adapt to the situation. Like you're already suffering so much, so you're like, fuck, something needs to change. What can I change within myself to like meet this situation? And then it isn't until you get out on the other side that you're like, oh, like it didn't feel spiritual at the time. At the time it felt like a fucking pain in my ass. but then you get out of it, because we always do. At least, you know, I hope that we do. And then you're like, oh, well, that was a spiritual lesson.
That's really interesting. So, and I can totally relate to that. I had this interesting experience, and I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but I had this interesting experience. So my son, a little over 2.5, and I have a 6-month-old daughter. And when my son was 1.5 years, I'm talking about time and I'm like, time is so blurry. My son was like 1.5 years. He pulled a cup of hot tea off of, it was my hot tea, and he pulled it onto his wrist and burned his wrist. Mm-hmm. And we had to go to pediatric ER. And when you do that, when you show up with a kid who's hurt and you have to go to pediatric ER, like the entire hospital comes into your room and like, as you're crying, telling a story, you're like, oh, they're making sure that I didn't do this to my kid. Like the whole experience is like, and he was just like so beautiful and like anyway, it's a whole long story that I won't get into. It he's a beautiful, amazing kid, and the people who do that work are fucking saints. And so that was like this very intense thing, and the other crippling fear that I had around parent about becoming a mother is that my son would get hurt. So it was like, which what parent doesn't have that fear,
right? Anyway, it's like a double whammy,
right? And then the like 4 days after that happened, I found out I was pregnant, and we weren't really planning on being pregnant. And then I had this whole huge wave of fear come up that was like, oh, I had this really intense postpartum depression and anxiety, and that means I have to go through that again. And then I had to like I sobbed to my husband about like, okay, I really want this kid that we weren't trying for, but now I'm scared. And then 4 days after that, a week after that, I had a miscarriage. And so it was just like this like super, super, super intense experience. But the reason I mention all this now, because everybody I'm sure has some version of this, but what was interesting and different is that when I had the miscarriage, I very consciously was like, okay, what am I supposed to learn? Like, I just sort of like, I just was like, okay. And I was pretty early in this phase of my like current spiritual self. But yeah, I just like really leaned into like, okay, there's clearly something that I'm supposed to let go. There's clearly something I'm supposed to heal from. There's clearly something I'm supposed to know about and learn. And like, I'm open, because like, I'm already, this sucks. And And it went by so much more gracefully than the normal shit we slog through. Like, there's like that experience that I just described, like, is the kind of thing that can linger for so long. And I really genuinely like don't feel like I carry that around with me. And I think it's because I just didn't, because I think I was, I don't know, I just showed up for the lesson in a more graceful way. Or have the space and capacity to show up for the lesson in a more graceful way.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think that's so beautiful. I love what you said about like, that's it, that phrase, I'm open. I feel like that's it. Yeah. And sometimes it feels like it's got to break us open because we're being so stubborn, or not just stubborn, honestly, sometimes we're just really freaked the fuck out. So it's really hard to like open and like let go of control or whatever. And sometimes if we're lucky, we get a little bit of like wisdom or experience, then we can be like, okay, wait, no. Let me like see what I need to adjust here right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it. Like, yeah, being open.
Being open.
But that does kind of take me into my next question for you, which is, well, I know we, so I feel like you kind of talked about it and I'm wondering if you have other examples to share. Which is, I think spirituality is something that helps people get through really hard times. I think that that is one of the, I don't know, powers or benefits, or I don't know what the, you know, I don't feel like I'm a spiritual person because it helps me get through good times, but I know that it, bad times, but I know that it has. And so I'm wondering for you, has spirituality helped you get through anything that was really difficult, or has it informed your experience in the past of something hard that you've been going through?
After my daughter was born, I had a lot of just like, you know, stuff comes up in waves. And I had a lot of stuff from my past sort of come slamming back into my life that was like, hey, if you want to deal with this now, that'd be cool. And it has not been easy. But I feel brave enough to do the work because I don't feel alone doing it. Mm. And because I know that on the other side. So when I was in labor with my daughter, when I was in labor with my son, I had an epidural. The whole experience was awesome. I had an epidural. When my daughter, I didn't. And that moment just before she was born, I literally thought I was dying. Like it is, the pain is so intense. It is like an animal, like, it wasn't a conscious thing. It was like my body was like, oh, well, this is death. And it was, it was the most fearful I've ever been, because most of the time fear is like in my head and like, does this person like me or not? Right? Fear for me most of the time is like, how much does this person not like
me? What's but this was like a real physical threat. This was like, felt like beyond the mind.
Exactly. And then my daughter was born. And that, I come back to that all the time when it comes to like leaning into, like when I feel afraid and I feel like I don't want to look at this. I don't want to unpack this. I don't want to do this work, whatever the work in front of me is. Mm-hmm. And then I remember like, I thought I was going to die. And then my daughter was born. And wow. That's always what's on the other side of our fear. Like,
yeah, you just gave me the chills. That's so beautiful. Yeah. Seriously, that is so beautiful.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. All right.
Talk about a life lesson right there.
Mic drop. Podcast. Yeah. We don't need an episode 2.
We're done. Yeah, we're good. This is
my
all
daughter gave us all the lessons we need. Speaking of which, I've just got a text from my husband that she is crying and hungry.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the sign.
She's like, I am the ultimate wise person in this house, and I decree that your podcast is over.
I think that's a good, because I actually didn't know when it was going to be over. We were looking for a sign, and that was it.
Apparently. I have like a million more questions to ask you. Oh, God,
same. Seriously, I think I only got to maybe like two or three of my questions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But this was an awesome, awesome, like, honestly, an awesome introduction. And I am, like, so excited to learn more from you and also from our future guests as we try and talk more about, again, spirituality or what the hell it means to be spiritual and, like, the real world.
Yeah. And I am, like, I'm really grateful for this conversation. And I am super grateful to anybody who's out there listening and you know, making it this far into the episode. Yeah.
Stay tuned for more, hopefully, because honestly, as I know that, like, we've been talking for I don't even know how long, but now I'm even more curious.
I like, know, right?
I just want to learn more. So yeah, stay tuned. This was the first one. We don't know what's coming up next, but whatever it is, we hope it's going to be good.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hello Universe. We are so excited to have this show out in the world, and to celebrate, we are hosting a big giveaway. So to enter the contest, please head over to iTunes or your Apple Podcast app and subscribe to the show. Leave us a review and a rating. If you could take a picture of that review and email us at podcast@hellouniversepod.com, that counts as your entry. And as a thank you for your support, we are giving away one 90-minute coaching and mindset session with Eva, a one-hour Akashic Records reading with myself, and a whole bunch of our most favorite books. But the truth is, it was really hard for us to narrow down our favorite books, and so we're actually going to give two giveaways. So once you leave your review, find us on Instagram and tag anyone that you think might also love the show. Every person that you enter is an extra entry, and then we're going to send the winner of that contest a whole bunch of more favorite books and a really beautiful oracle deck by Rebecca Campbell. Thank you again for tuning in and supporting the show. Can't wait to talk next week.